I've had a long tenure in public service. I've been representing about half of that Senate district as the assembly member for the past 7 years. So, you know, I'm just looking at, you know, what's good government? What can I bring to the table? What's needed? You know, here's somebody that knows the issues, knows the legislation, knows the players in Albany. What I need to do is I need to learn the rest of the, you know, the particulars of the other half of the Senate district that I don't already represent. But I think I have something to bring to the table in that, I was born and raised here, born in the Glens Falls Hospital, grew up in Queensbury, you know, represented Queensbury for years before I was in the assembly, was educated at Clarkson University in St. Lawrence County. I mean, I am a North Country guy, and, you know, it's a labor of love. I enjoy what I do, and I've got the passion to do it. So, you know, I just thought it was a natural that, hey, I can help. I think the state needs some help. I think that I have something that I can contribute to try to maybe slow some of the direction that New York City is tending to bring us. And so when Senator Little said she was retiring, you know, I just felt like I had a role to play, you know, to help in the Senate.
Dan Steck, in the statement that you issued announcing that you were running, you say that you understand the issues that you face. And you also just mentioned that you understand what's needed. So what are the key issues and what does the district need?
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, certainly we've got the blessing of having a very diverse state with diverse problems and perspectives on things, you know, and I won't get into, you know, New York City, but, you know, certainly a lot of what we've seen in particular this past year with one party rule in Albany is that it's gone to a very metropolitan centered perspective on all things in Albany. And that includes the budget and the priorities that we set in the budget. And, you know, the latest, I think, and most egregious thing that happened this past year is the bail and discovery reforms. That is a non-political issue in the North Country that are Republicans and Democrats that are both concerned about the cost and about the impact on public safety that these changes, again, that came from progressives and the very liberals from the other side of the aisle, predominantly from the New York City area. And this is not what we want for our communities. This is not how we want to spend our resources. So they're very concerned about that. But it's been a litany of things along those lines, free education for illegal immigrants, you know, bending over backwards for prisoners' rights as opposed to what about crime victims' rights. So and then on top of that, we have a very real $6 billion hole in the budget. In good economic times, we've got a $6 billion hole to fill this year. We're going to have to make some hard decisions, and we can't keep saying yes to everything. Because our $176 billion state budget is only going to balloon from there. And to give perspective on that, Florida's budget is only $90 billion. So we spend a lot of money in New York State.
This is not the first time we've seen a divide between the concerns in the New York City area versus upstate. So how, as a new senator, would you basically sugar out those concerns and be able to make progress where you see progress needing to be made?
Yep. Well, I certainly faced the same challenge as a new assembly member 7 years ago. I went into the minority there, same kind of idea where it was New York City driven. I'm a North Country Republican. But the thing is that I can point to in my 7 years in the assembly, great success that I've had. And that comes from working hard and having a skill set and having a mindset to work with people that you might disagree with on other things. But if you can show them the merits of your position, your argument, how things are different in the North Country, and then find a way that will allow them to achieve their goals and solutions to their problems without making new problems in other parts of the state. That's something that I've done in the assembly. Three constitutional amendments having to do with issues in the Adirondacks, not exactly top priority things for people from the five boroughs, but again, working with my colleagues and making sure that they understood the issue, you gain their support. And I think a lot of it is just putting in the effort to build relations, to be a reasonable person, to agree when you can agree, to not automatically disagree because you're on opposite parties. That's what I've done in the assembly. And you know, I think if you do that in the Senate, again, the things that are important to us, I should be able to have an impact on like I have in the assembly.
Dan Steck, you're sounding very passionate about these things. When the current incumbent, Betty Little, decided to announce that she was not going to run for the Senate seat again, did it take you very long to decide that you would like to run for the seat?
Well, you know, in all honesty, you know, once you get to the legislature and then certainly, you know, every 2 years and you know, you always wonder, hey, is there going to be an opportunity to move to the Senate? So it's something that you just in the back of your mind, you always think, you know, someday. So it's not like it fell out of the sky and I had to, you know, say, oh, my goodness, I hadn't ever considered this. But it became more real when Senator Little last week said, hey, I am definitely retiring now. So, you know, then you start to really think about it seriously. And then that's when you talk to your family. You know, you think long and hard, all right, what does this mean? You know, can we do this? Can our family, you know, this district is the size of Connecticut. You know, I mean, my assembly district is huge, but this is almost twice the size of my assembly district. You know, so are you prepared to do that? Do you have the family support to do that? So you have those conversations. And then, of course, the next thing is you need to start looking at the political realities. Is the support there? Is my candidacy something that, you know, in my case, my fellow Republicans would support and want? And so you start talking to those circles. And then after a few days of doing that, I came to realize, you know what, there's a lot of support for me to do this. But most importantly, I had family support at home. And, you know, but I enjoy doing what I do. I really get a lot of job satisfaction of making the difference in people's lives. I understand you're not going to always make everybody happy. But when people get a sense that you're doing the best that you can and that you're generally moving them in the right direction, you know, then people are pretty patient, you know, with, all right, well, we don't agree on that issue. But, boy, he did a good job over here. And that's what I've been doing in the assembly. And now this is just an opportunity to serve a larger area and more people. And so it'll mean more work. But, you know, just the passion's there and the knowledge is there. And, you know, I just want to make a difference.
Now, you're a Republican. This 2020 election is not only going to be a regional election, but a national election. Mm-hmm. What do you anticipate as you gear up to campaign over the next 10, 11 months?
Well, I think that we are going to see an awful lot of television ads from presidential candidates and congressional candidates. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think that that there's an awful lot of energy that's going to be coming in from all directions on the 2020 federal level. And of course, I'll be on the same ballot. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, talking to people and listening to people, you know, they're tired of the divide generally. And I think but the divide is there. I mean, I don't think anyone's opinions or decisions are changing with what's going on in Washington right now as far as, you know, people, if they're Republican, I think they're more Republican than before. And people, if they're Democrat, I think they're more Democrat as far as, you know, their intentions of which way they're leaning at the ballot box. And, you know, that's unfortunate, I think, in some regards, because, you know, everyone wants to say, hey, let me look at the individual. Because I think when people look at the individual, you get a sense for, hey, somebody that can cross the aisle and work together. And I just think that so much air is going to be sucked out of the room, if you will, by what's going on at the very top of the ticket. You know, people in the North Country that I've been talking to, you know, they're tired of this. They want people to focus on real issues, kitchen table issues, you know, the economy. They want infrastructure worked on. And these are the things that I ran for 7 years ago. I'd rather focus on fixing roads and bridges and making sure that we got broadband and cellular service than, you know, some of the more perhaps exciting and passionate items out there. But, you know, people are tired of that. Their minds are made up and they just want everyone to get back to work and do the job of government.